Greetings, everyone. Welcome to day two of our E3 roundtable. My name is Chris, and I'll be your MC for the night. First of all, we're going to talk about our exciting day. We had a nice appointment with NIS today, followed by Atlas, and we'd like to discuss that first. Zachary, would you care to start?
Well, given that their confidence in us to give us their first meeting of all of the E3 schedule, I am very proud to say that Atlas and NIS must really like us a lot, which is good because, frankly, the feeling is mutual. The fact that NIS continues to work on the things they do best, like make totally insane stuff, like their public relations manager said, literally, through Makai Kingdom, which is very, very fun.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Uses dynamics similar to Phantom Brave, except that it also contains the game elements of Disgaea, like the ability to use multiple characters to attack a single unit. And generally, it appears that the same somewhat quirky and wayward nature of the story is intact.
And in case anyone was wondering, the release date is indeed in July 2005, and don't expect it to be bumped back again.
Makai Kingdoms, I would say it does include the mechanics, like they said, of Phantom Brave, but at the same time, playing it, it plays a lot more like Disgaea did. The speed is back there a bit in the battle system. It's not quite as fast. The no grid method, while it gives a lot more control, the speed doesn't quite feel as fast. That said, the general feel of the game is much, much more back to the Disgaea era. And the general simplicity of the game is much more there. There's exploring it when I did this evening, the general setup, not everything was the same thing. A weapon was a weapon. It was not a character. This made me very happy.
Okay. Yeah. It definitely looks like, even as Phil said, looked simple, it's still a lot of fun. The graphics are very clean. For all that, a lot of this stuff is done with sprites. The sprites have a lot of expressions, a whole bunch of very different ones, very entertaining ones. The translation, as I'm the translator, I'm looking at a lot of this, the translation looks excellent. It's a riot to read. I mean, there were three of us playing through it, and all of us were in tears laughing at some of these lines. It definitely looks like a very, very good combination of easy to get a hold of gameplay, easy to figure out and get the hang of real quick, and really catchy, innovative dialogue and story that you're gonna want to go, that you're gonna want to keep going through. That this one I can see spending 150 hours doing just because. Anyway.
Did you do that in the past three?
Actually, I have personally not played them. I have been the choir to a lot of people. TRPGs are not my forte, but I have Disgaea sitting at home. I'm getting ready to play.
They're not mine either. love Disgaea.
Yes. But they're just
they're
so
my
much
guilty pleasure.
Yes. They just look so
I
much
own
fun.
too many TRPGs for someone who does not like them.
Yeah, but I definitely want to play. It looks like a whole bunch of fun. Oh, man. Yeah, just from watching it today, it's like, I want to play now. Give me the whole game. Just put it right here. Let me have a chair and some food. I won't leave for the rest of the weekend.
Just a reminder for you all listening, you can feel free to send an email at any time to us at roundtable@rpgamer.com, and we'll answer any of your questions on NIS. Also, NIS had announced a new PSP game, which we were all very excited to hear. Since we had their first appointment, we got to post the news out really fast. What do you think about that, Zach?
Generation of Chaos looked very, very good and will make PSP owners everywhere extraordinarily happy. because it will somewhat vindicate their position for having bought the console early. Unfortunately, it doesn't come out for a fairly considerable amount of time.
Still, you know, Generation of Chaos is supposed to be a very large franchise over there. I think just recently I was reading stuff about Generation of Chaos 5 coming out, so this is probably a good sign that maybe more of this will come out, maybe? Did they say anything about that at all?
They didn't say anything, but they...
I was sure that the Generation of Chaos that they're talking about is not that Generation of Chaos 5.
It's not out in Japan yet, so I don't think so.
Or 4.
I have no idea.
I can't imagine that there's 4 or 5 PSP, a series of 4 or 5 games that are on the PSP.
They could be being ported. They could be starting at 1, porting it to the PSP, and then work their way up. They were doing that with a couple other old, good series, like most of which, unfortunately, have not gotten American NA release dates just yet. But that's been a trend, sort of, to get some good games back on the PSP, is to go through some of the major series like Ease, like the Generation of Chaos.
So Generation of Chaos does exist already in Japan?
Oh, yes.
You've
there
seen
are
Ease before, and so this is for sure just a port of number one.
I don't know which one that...
So it's a port of something?
It's a port of one of them.
It may or may not be a port.
Oh, okay. Well, I know there's at least...
I know it's out in Japan, but it only recently came out in Japan.
Yeah.
It's out
there's
in,
a game.
PSP.
It will be coming
here. It
is
out for the PSP as of the 31st of March in Japan.
Maybe
okay.
One of our readers can look us up a bit.
Yeah, because I know it's a very large series over there, and there are at least 5. I remember reading some news about it. But... Yeah, it hasn't seen much in the way of light of day over here in America. So it's actually good news, because it looks like a really interesting series.
Our roundtable today is a little bit different from yesterday. We've got a couple new members, and a couple people aren't here. So we're going to go through the names one more time.
Okay.
I'm Zachary ASV Lewis. I was the MC last night.
I'm Philip Bloom, Dracos.
Okay, I'm Adrian Beck. I'm translator. You probably don't see me in the articles much, but I'm back there.
Chris Privateer. I write scripts and stuff, so I used to do media. Maybe you remember. Probably don't.
And I'm Courtney Stone. I'm head of news, also known as Alethea.
Mm-hmm. You're being too quiet. You need to talk more.
Perhaps I should.
Yes. Give her a topic to talk about.
We haven't gotten her angry yet. Kingdom Hearts 2 sucks. There we go.
No.
Don't say that.
No, it doesn't. That's a lie. That's just
going to
be
my fangirl wrath.
Courtney, we'll have plenty to talk about when we get to Natsumi later.
Yes.
Natsumi. Sorry.
So now why don't we move on to Atlas?
Back to Atlas, right?
Frankly, Magna Carta looked fabulous.
Yes, that's a very sexy game indeed.
It is a very, very large pity there's no playable demo.
Yes,
I would very much like to play Magna Carta immediately, if not sooner, and I'm somewhat annoyed that the PC version of it has never come out outside of Korea and Japan, but then again, if we didn't have these things to dream about, we would have no hopes.
Its graphics really strongly reminded me of Shadow Hearts Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. I love those graphics.
Yeah.
I thought a game could do much worse than looking that nice.
Yes, it did look very nice. The character designs looked impressive. The motion was fluid.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of variety going on with character designs again. What else did you see?
A lot of artistic beauty in the way that things were, the camera angles and the way that things were
mm-hmm.
being designed and flow and everything.
Mm-hmm. It just looks very, very, very impressive. Impressive. I want to play it, but they can't. Darn it.
Sadly.
Yes.
We can't say that much more on it, though, since we haven't played it.
Yeah, well, still, it looks impressive.
It looks very pretty. It looks very stylistic. Mm-hmm. What we were told of their battle system sounded much like a cross between Vagrant Story and Shadow Hearts Covenant.
Ooh.
Did you hear on that part?
No,
what they
but
were,
I love
what
both
were,
those
what
games.
What they're describing is the player would, instead of choosing an action, they would choose a style of response for the character. Whether the character would be aggressive style of attack, would be defensive, would use a lot of combos, would use a lot of special abilities, and then the character would be acting that out. And when the character tried to attack, a ring would pop up, and there would be timed hits along the ring.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, if you did it perfectly over and over and again, it would just continue going.
Uh-huh. That's very vigorous story. Okay.
Digital Devil Saga 2, although they admit that the story does end in this episode of the series, there is no telling whether they will make more or not.
It's a good thing that they ended the story. More people could learn from them. Exactly. Make something good and finish it good.
Yes.
Precisely. Mm. Again, very dark. They very, very much expected to get a mature rating again. Not entirely because of violence and blood, but because of the adult-oriented themes of the storyline having to do with the apocalypse and whatnot and demonic possession, but
there was lots of violence and blood.
Yes.
In fact, in the video they showed us, we got a nice little imagery of this animal or creature eating someone.
Yes.
Very bloody and gory.
Yes.
People with blood coming out of their mouths.
In general, it's rather nice, actually, seeing it as a mature title.
Yeah.
There's too often it's placed that the mature bracket of titles is solely for what is GTA Fest, gun, extremely violent and sex-oriented games, when really there's a huge area of adult topics that don't need to be that also are inappropriate for the teen bracket,
yeah.
And they're interesting stories.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see a company actually doing that, telling an interesting story that's told at a level that's not just simply we're kiddifying this concept.
Yeah, well, Atlas is good at that. I mean, yes. Besides Digital Devil Saga, there's all the Megaten games.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it'd be interesting to see where Magna Carta falls in that bracket.
I would not be surprised to see it be towards the teenager, adult end of the bracket as well.
Yeah.
That did not look like a kid's game.
One of the few more child-oriented games that it appeared they had that was role-playing centric was Riviera, which is also quite gorgeous for a Game Boy Advance game. I did not personally get a chance to play it, but...
No.
Did they have it up there?
Sorry, not yet.
I didn't
see. Did anyone get a chance?
Yeah, unfortunately, the Atlas booth was plagued with brownouts. They were in the section of the convention center that got hit by those power outages. So
they did actually get their power back, but not till 12:30.
Actually, it went back out again.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It was on for about 20 minutes,
and then
it went.
Yeah.
Yes, I was sitting in an upstairs media lounge, and the light above me started really flickering a lot, and then all of a sudden everything just went out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I came back up, it was 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and I dropped by the Atlas booth, and half of the booth was just black. They had only a couple playable demos of their action Samurai Western, and the everything on the other side, the Makai Kingdom, the Digital Devil Saga, Magna Carta, all that was black. And while I was standing there talking with people, it popped back up again. So they looks like they were on and off all day. So.
Did they actually have Riviera there playable?
I don't remember.
I didn't see it personally.
I was looking around and I did not see it in the booth, and the booth was not terribly huge to miss it in.
No. Well, they had a couple. I know
they had a DS title for sure.
They had a DS title.
Hidden in the front. I don't know which one it was. I don't know if it was Riviera or not.
The thing that gets me about Riviera is that it's 30 plus hours long. I don't think I have any Game Boy Advance games that are that long.
Hmm.
RPGs. But if you like Street Fighter, you might like Riviera. After all, it has its own little power bar.
Guys, hold on.
Hmm?
Something got disconnected.
Are we still live?
No. Okay, it's reconnected now. I don't know what happened there.
Check. Can we be heard?
I didn't even see it go off.
Testing.
Well, if you hear this, post in the IRC channel that you hear this.
It's back up and running.
Okay.
We apologize for that.
Let me ask Andrew where it cut off.
as we were saying, we were just talking about Riviera being 30 hours long. It also has a combo-based attack system with a power bar that's very reminiscent of Street Fighter. So if you are interested in Street Fighter at all, you might like to try this game out. It stars four female characters and has some various dating sim elements that might attract some interesting fans.
Dating sim in the like, same game.
It's like, how can Blanca get a date?
So can you fill up your power bar to lay out the Mac meter, maybe? Or, you
know, yes. What happens if the date goes badly? If you get an uppercut or something?
I have to admit, when I was trying to write the impression for that part, it was terribly difficult to find a nice way to say how they phrased it so far.
Oh, yeah.
You have a guy and his five female companions. It's like...
okay. Oh, well.
Yeah. Not easy to say that in a way that doesn't sound bad.
So he's dating all five at once?
Yes.
Yeah, sort of.
That is what was hinted at. You have these five girls you are friends with, and you can date them, you can gain their favor by being nice to them, or you can gain their scorn by being mean to them, and you can choose choices as you go through there.
It's called the Riviera. The French Riviera is known for being a romantic hotspot, so... Oh, well.
So no doubt we'll know what five of those endings will be.
Yeah.
Anything else for Atlas?
Besides, we want the games out now.
I'd be with you that if I had the money and time to play them.
Oh, no. You make it for those games.
NIS America did note that they will eventually be releasing a art book based on the art of multiple artists that it was done for Makai King.
Yes.
Very, very pretty.
Yes, there was a couple of those that are out in Japan.
I remember seeing those, if they
would come out. They look gorgeous.
You will probably be getting a preview of what is in that booklet starting as soon as we all return to our homes, because we were provided with one to scan.
Aha! Scans are good. Scans are very good.
Yeah, that artwork's going to be fought over a lot before the week's over. And I'd also like to remind everyone that you can send in questions to roundtable@rpgamer.com.
Question us!
Yes.
Please, we want to be interrogated.
Yes.
May also...
We can't make fun of you if you don't question us.
May also ask questions over IRC, which you can get to from our website's index.
And in IRC, you can make fun of Clax Live.
Hey, guys, no, be nice.
You can.
Nice.
You can.
Yeah, make fun of Andrew.
Make fun of anyone you want. It's the round table.
Yes. Or questions. Questions are good. We saw a lot of stuff today. If we don't get around to it, if there's one you want to know about, just send a question, IRC, email, either or. Come on. Talk to us, people. Talk to us.
Get your friends on listening, too. Make them a nice, big, interactive circle.
Well, this is a little off topic, but Kinto wants to know about .hackGU. Did anyone happen to pass by that booth?
I remember getting some stuff from them, but I do not remember seeing a demo up.
I didn't even see Bandai yet.
I swung through that area, and there was a whole bunch of crowds. It looks like they have a lot of good stuff up there and had a lot of people there. I didn't get to actually sit down and play anything. I would have to take a better look tomorrow, but I think they have it. I know I got some stuff for it.
What's the GU stand for?
I have no idea.
So the best answer to that question is we don't really know yet.
Not quite yet, but
ask
I think it's
tomorrow
there.
Night. And someone will know about it.
We'll know for tomorrow, we promise.
Okay.
We'll find out one way or another. Well, next up we had an appointment for CCP, which are the designers and creators of EVE Online. And that would be you,
Me
Chris.
And Ed went to that, Foxworth Sobbin. Sat down with one of the... Was he a developer?
He was the CMO.
CMO.
Is what it's...
Media officer or something? What does that mean?
Marketing officer?
Marketing. Whatever.
Offhand, I don't think when we were talking to him, I don't think he actually told us what his specific title was. Other than he is heavily involved. He's an active player in the game.
Yes.
Very active player in the game. And I think... Chris and I, we really didn't know much about the game before going into this, unfortunately. But boy, do we know quite a bit.
We know
about
a lot more than we did going in. It's pretty interesting.
What do you want to know?
The game, you know, I haven't been following the game much. However, became very interested after the interview.
I think one of the.
So my apologies if I'm repeating some of the information we have on the site already, but.
But it was, for us, I mean, it was new information to us specifically. Yeah. But I think one of the things that for Chris and I, since we both played other MMOs quite a bit, is that the world for this is absolutely ginormous.
Yeah.
There's the upwards of what
5,000
solar systems, but it's not done up like most MMOs where, you know, you have like with like 11, you know, you have the different servers on like Midgard Storm or Kate Sith and all those. With Eve, it's one server.
One big world.
Everybody's there.
12,000 to 13,000 people, they say. It's huge.
And he says basically. So not something that they originally planned into the game, but basically now there's giant alliances that control certain areas of the universe, and that just has really exploded.
Yeah. What can we say?
Well,
in about a month, they're doing a nice new patch that should hopefully improve the new player experience, which apparently has been one of the shortcomings that they've been getting a lot of complaints about. So it should be a lot easier for a player to get into the game to begin with and start getting a ship and some credits. Apparently, one of the best things you could do, get right in the game and hook yourself up with one of these corporations, and that's part of an alliance. They help to fund you, help to train you. There's a huge social aspect and kinship going on there. They want you to get good so you can help patrol their area of space, which you basically carve out and defend off from pirates, or you become a pirate and everybody else hates you. But it sounds like there's this huge pirates and anti-pirates thing going on. Apparently don't go
at one point in time, and some of them occur 4 years prior.
Oh, I see.
So
I'm far behind on catching up.
Yeah, there's a lot of
first 9 episodes.
Well, they decided to do all the background stuff early.
Yeah. I was afraid to save it. You can't say you're not caught up.
I'll get there. I've been waiting for the DVDs.
So,
got more questions?
Yeah,
I'm sure there are more questions for us.
Someone has to be complaining about us. We're boring.
It's FMA. There's too many fans.
Again, send your FMA questions to roundtable@rpgamer.com.
Did you get? Is it playable here?
Yes.
Guys play it?
I have an impression, half written.
Half written. All right.
Oh, yes.
Well, give us your impression right now.
I've played better action RPGs.
Did you feel the same about it as you did the first one? Or?
I did not actually get to play the first one.
Awesome.
I've played better action RPGs. It has some neat stuff. The graphics were nice. The concept of being able to, like, ooh, I pulled a button, I pressed into the ground, and boom, I have a new weapon. That was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the weapons that were offered did not play particularly well. They were there. They were usable. You could kill things with them. They did not feel fluid. They did not feel, I'm playing someone who's reasonably skilled with this weapon. I can move with it. I can do stuff. I can look cool while wielding it. I think the only thing that I ever felt that was when I was hitting things with bare hands, or when I had him pull out a sword, which was reasonably nice. The enemies were not. They were there. They also looked nice. I have trouble saying that on the notion that it has been a very long time since I've encountered a game where I say, this doesn't look nice. it is not something that
E3 doesn't really allow for that kind of thing.
Yes, they get booted out of the door.
Yes. It looks nice. That said, there was not much story in the period that I played, so I can't comment on that. The enemies were not particularly interesting to fight. They were there. I mean, they were there, the system was there, there was lots I could do with the sandbox environment.
It sounds exactly the same as the demo that they had last year for the first game.
Yeah.
It's what it's shaping up to, it sounded to me. So
it sounds like to me, too.
Yeah.
It did not...
So it's
there was nothing in what I played that said, this is an action RPG that I would go out, I would spend $50, and I would bring it home to my collection. This might be something I would go out there and rent and say, let's see if they have something a little ways in there that makes it really interesting. But otherwise, I could find, you could go out to the rental store and find 10 action RPGs, which are much like it. They just don't have the cartoon frequency. They don't have the FMA thematics.
Yes.
And instead of picking up weapons from the ground, you pick up weapons from right alongside of you.
Okay.
Okay.
On the topic of Full Metal Alchemist, we just got a question regarding Full Metal Alchemist for the DS.
That is not an RPG. There is a lot. Bandai is doing a couple handheld versions. There are several handheld handheld games for FMA. However, not one of them is an RPG. They are more action oriented, and
the DS series might do better on that.
Though. Yeah, the we. Don't have too much on them. But I do know there is more than one. I don't know if they're GBA or if they're at DS, but I do know there's a DS one coming out shortly, and Bandai has a hand in a lot of them, but none of them are RPGs.
That answers that question.
Yep.
While we're on the topic of Square Enix, who got to try out the Dragon Quest game?
I even played the slime controller.
We will be looting the stash. We will be stealing the game. I will lead an army to take it from
them. The biggest thing to say about Dragon Quest VIII is, yes, they had the Hori brand
slime
controllers. They were
they
blue.
Awesome.
They were awesome.
Yes.
They
were the most uncomfortable controller I've ever used in my life.
I liked them.
But they look great.
I just thought they were comfortable.
They look very fantastic. But
not in my hands.
I had no problems with them. It's like you're holding a bowl.
If you're geek-like, you will probably get carpal tunnel syndrome after playing Dragon Quest VIII for a week.
I had no problems with them. It's just like you're holding the bottom of a
bowl.
They
were a good controller. They're not the best controller.
There's no grip.
They're a gimmick.
No,
I've
put too much pressure
for,
on it.
For a gimmick controller.
Yes, I had no problems this way.
A gimmick controller, it was an awesome.
No, you don't. The trick with this thing is you don't try to hold it from the side. You hold it from the bottom.
Yes.
You cup the bottom like this and put your thumbs over the top. And I have short fingers, and I still manage to do it.
That's going to put wrist pressure on it. All right, yeah.
Okay,
I agree exactly what Zach just said. For any of us who have very stressed wrists and stuff from work, it's not going
to
work.
It takes a little bit to get used to them. It's not like the standard controller. You do have to fiddle around with it to get the grip right. But once you do, it's not that bad.
It reminds me a little bit of the single-handed controller that was released in Japan for RPGs.
I wish that would have come up.
I kind of wish it had come here, too.
But yeah, it did.
We're a generation too late for that already.
Yeah, but from what I played through, I played a good half hour, 45 minutes with it because there was nobody there. And it was...
I pulled myself away because I knew if I got addicted, they wouldn't be able to pull me away from it.
Well, it looks like a very good traditional RPG. Like, very good.
Very traditional, except it's cel-shaded. It's Akira Toriyama, so all you who love your Chrono Trigger style designs...
Dragon Ball.
What needs to be said, it is far more closer to... I mean... When you talk about the menus, the interface, it's far closer to the traditional Final Fantasy than it is the traditional Dragon Quest.
Oh, yeah, there's
there is no command menu anymore. There was a menu, though.
I don't know.
Yeah,
this has to be said.
Like, there is no more search or talk or open door. Mm-hmm. For those of you that were hoping that was held over from Dragon Quest VII, they smartly got rid of it.
I see good riddance.
They could just stick it in a side button, like L3, and have it pop up, and I would be happy.
Game, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's still quite a lot of explanation of what's happening. It's like the very, very beginning, like you defeat, you get X gold, you get X experience point. This person attacks, this person dodges smoothly.
Very chatty.
Yes, it's
so
very chatty.
So it keeps a lot of that little feel that the Dragon
Voice
Quest
actors.
People have come to know and love, or despise, depending on.
One nice thing that has been good is they picked a really nice font.
The font is very readable. This game looks good. This has to be considered with a game.
It's a PS2 cel-shaded game, so it's not going to unfortunately next to certain games that are out for PC and Xbox 360 that look even insane.
Unfortunately, Lord Klaxor and I had to play it like 10 minutes after we had seen Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, and so it looked pretty terrible. But
the real world looked pretty terrible after watching
like
the Oblivion.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a beautiful game.
It is very,
very beautiful game.
The controls,
yes,
I do want to point in here. The controls took a second for me to get used to. The buttons are weird.
The button configuration
is very weird. I really hope that they have some sort of menu option. At the beginning, we never got the opening screen. We started in the middle of the story, so I'm hoping there's an options menu off the start screen to change the button.
So it would not let me kick.
So Square Enix, if you're listening to this, button configuration.
Yes. Please. Yes, but there was still, it was a whole bunch of fun.
Do not succumb to the problem of
so
the Mega
start,
Man
so
Anniversary
some,
Collection.
Yes. Yeah,
the,
let's get some details.
I also
like,
recommend
example,
a plushy slime controller. Yes. Nice
well,
plushy slime.
Yeah.
There's no, I asked, there's no official word on whether the Hori controllers are coming over still.
You can import them.
You can import them, of course.
Yeah.
As far as the battles themselves, they do, when you go into battle, you get the same little first-person view of everything, and then when you make your choices, you get to see your characters do everything. So you see a character shooting the bow, you see your monk guy going there and doing fisticuffs, and your girl
you
doing the whip
the
stuff, and the main
around.
Guy's using the sword. Everyone's got abilities that use their weapons, and they do kind of fun things, and mm-hmm. they've got the multiple strikes. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got magic as well, it looks like, mm-hmm. and you
yeah.
can flee. You can also psych up, and basically you psych up, and it uses up a turn, and it makes your special ability attack stronger. And then that uses
yeah.
up the psych up points.
I also
have.
Liked what I was told by the monster I attempted to use the intimidate skill against.
Yeah.
It was a puppeteer, and he said he was not very impressed.
Yeah,
they're
not impressed.
Yes, it is definitely very, very customizable. When you're going into battle. You can even go back on the menu. If you don't want to go through the pain in the tail of giving orders to each character as you go
just
through it.
Just command them
it's,
to go.
Yeah.
You can give them sort of,
That's
auto
an old mainstay of the DQ series since DQ 3.
Okay.
As far as story, I don't know how many people know. It's the journey of the
Cursed King.
The king and his daughter were cursed. The king is now a little orc type of guy, and
reminds
his daughter, I guess, was turned
into
a
horse. Yeah.
And so, what do you do with your daughter that's turned into a horse? Apparently, you hook her up to a cart and drive her around. I don't know what he's thinking of, but that's what they're doing, and they're just following you around. You, the hero, are trying to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
And the little demo we played, you were looking for a guy who was hopefully going to be able to help them.
Yeah.
But he's dead. He had died in a fire, so, oh well. I guess we got to go find the main baddie now. And then some little girl whose father is kind of a fortune teller. He's like, no, help my dad find a crystal ball, and then maybe he can help you. And that's as far as I got, because as soon as I got in
the waterfall.
Yeah, as soon as you go to the waterfall to try and find out more,
you
don't have any healing potions or anything in the demo, so you just get wiped out.
Yeah,
so.
It's very, very, it's, the demo itself, battles, while they are fun, they can be really hard, because, especially in the beginning, you have two characters, no abilities.
It seemed to me that a lot of the spell names were different than they used to be as well.
That's from Dragon Quest VII.
Okay.
They were the same. Well, the spell names.
Yeah, the spell names.
Yeah,
the ability names were not. They did change the spell names.
Spell names, we have buff and ka-buff and
They removed a lot of the familiar spell names. This is true.
Gotta love any enhancement spell that's just called buff.
Buff.
We've actually got a Dragon Quest question.
Ooh.
We would like to know if there's going to be any difference between the Japanese OST and the English one. As you're the translator, perhaps you would know.
So why would there be?
I do not know. There, strangely enough, there has been not that much noise about OSTs. It's all been about the game and the slime controllers and the Dragon Quest spin-off, Slime Mori Mori. But I have not heard anything about the OST.
Has this happened?
I would
in
suggest
the past
that
with
the
their
odds
games?
Are that it would be unchanged because they generally
don't.
Have not changed it in the last.
Yeah, actually, a lot of these
five games.
When is the one that they changed?
As much of the game as I've played, haven't heard any vocal music for them to really localize.
Yeah, I don't understand where the question is coming from.
It's something that has been happening more commonly with RPGs in general.
Yeah.
But it's not a problem with the Dragon Quest series.
The theme song might be the only thing. I don't know.
What RPG has changed its OST for
Part of it is theme songs.
Final Fantasy X,
especially with all those things having English lyrics versus Japanese lyrics. I do not remember off the top of my head what the image song for DQ8 is, but I would, there was actually not that much of a fuss about it, so I do not know. I would assume we'd probably end up more importing it than seeing an English version just yet. But anyway, but speaking of that sort of thing, the voice acting seemed very nice. With all this hullabaloo going on with...
Actually, I heard some inside the town.
Yeah.
It sounded horrible to me.
No, I heard the main characters.
Well, the main characters might be better, because I just heard these guys with really weird, bad accents talking very slowly.
The E3 Hall is not the best place to get a good grasp of the sound of the sax,
the audio, or the vocals.
Unless you're in the Konami booth, because everything there will make your ears bleed.
I managed to get to one spot that was fairly quiet, and I put my ear closer to the speakers to hear this. But the main characters seem to be doing all right. I mean, I'm very, very, very fussy about my voice actors. Extraordinarily fussy. Do not speak Final Fantasy X within my hearing. I will twitch. but the voice actors here seem really, really, really good. I mean, they managed to have... convincing accents. The one character has a very nice British accent. The main character, I don't know how much he speaks, but it doesn't seem like anything that's going to make you want to find the mute button. So.
And on to our next topic. All of you that have been waiting for the moment to hear Courtney speak, here it is. Natsumi. What happened?
We went in, we talked to Graham, their very nice PR guy. He basically told us about how... I'm so tired today. Another Wonderful Life is coming out pretty soon. That's the female version of Harvest Moon. You get to play a female character. I know that there was some speculation on our boards and in our chat about how... the game was going to cut off after she got married because they would not let you have a pregnant woman on a farm. Well, good news, because they have tapped into modern feminism, I suppose. I don't know. But they are going to allow the female character to be pregnant during the game. She will have the baby, and she will balance the farm and parenthood at the same time, basically a job and a family.
She go on maternity leave?
I don't know. I should have asked him if she went off for a season during the pregnancy, because I can't imagine her going out and working.
I hope it's not like the next day she's back out milking the cows.
I don't know. you never know. But,
They should switch over to the husband during, like, that period.
I don't know. He didn't say anything
That's
about that.
That's the third game. Yeah. You can milk more games out of
it. I was moving both lives.
He did say that the whole game is she's going to be balancing... the farm and being a mother, so I thought that was interesting. And there's also another GBA link-up game to go with it. That's More Friends from Mineral Town. That's also got a girl in it that's on vacation in Mineral Town, and it links up the same way as the Mineral Town game did for A Wonderful Life. And let's see.
Our mascot this time is a dog instead of a cow, I hear.
Yes, they were not giving out cow plushies this year. They were going to do dog plushies, but he said they weren't ready for distribution.
But they will be for pre-order?
I don't know.
I think that's what Michael said.
Okay. Well, I know
65,000 of them.
All I know is that he told me to email him, and he would try to get me one. So I'm excited about
She's
that.
She's collecting the whole set.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
We all
cute.
Want the Harvest Moon plushies.
He also talked a little bit about Harvest Moon DS, which I was surprised to hear him talk about that. He said he didn't know a whole lot about it, but he mentioned that what he's seen of it, it's going to have a lot of interactivity with the touchscreen. He said the part that he saw was shearing the sheep with the stylus on the touchpad, and something about milking the cow. I asked him if it was possible, perhaps, to plow your fields and sow your seeds with the stylus. He said he didn't know if that was possible, but... not entirely unlikely, I suppose.
So are they just...
One is the ability to have a daughter.
So you can't have a daughter... Well, You can't have a son in another wonderful life, then, I guess.
You can have a son in Another Wonderful Life, but in the special edition of Wonderful Life that they're doing for the PS2, you can have a son or a daughter. So instead of just being stuck with a son, you have the possibility of having a daughter.
Female main character, but you can't have a female child.
Yeah. Well, they're expanding into different genders, getting it all.
Sim the Farm meets Sims.
God.
Don't die.
Actually,
don't die.
You're killing me with the concept.
Can you still milk male cows?
I don't think there are any male cows in the Harvest Moon universe.
Oh,
and not to be like grotesque or anything, but I don't think anyone would want to drink that milk anyway.
Can we change the topic?
Yes, we can. Well, we're going to move on to Konami.
Oh, boy.
That's not a good sign, is it?
No, it was interesting getting there. Martyr and I were off doing our separate things and went, ah! Crap! Gotta go! But we did manage to meet each other at the booth in time, and we actually got to sit for a little bit because Konami itself was running behind. But we did get to meet Mr. Sasaki, who is the director for Ease 6 in all its various incarnations. We did a lot of talking about the PS2 and the PSP versions. I'll tell you straight off, the PSP version that is coming out shortly is not the same. I repeat, not the same as the PS2 version. They are very different. We did a lot of talking about that. There was an original PC base version. I don't know if that's come out over here yet or not, but from that, you can pretty much say that the PS2 version and the PSP version are adaptions rather than direct ports. The PS2 version was adapted to appeal more to a broader audience, bring more people into the Ease series. That is why they decided to do the polygon 3D characters instead of doing the 2D ones. That is something that apparently had a lot of fan backlash, changing that around, adding a whole bunch of CG, making it look a lot rounder, making it look a lot prettier. That was designed to appeal more to a broader audience, to get more people into the Ease franchise. The PSP version, hardcore gamers would be nice to know, like to know, is designed more for them. These are for the people who have played several Ease games. These are the people who are looking for what they want to find out of Ease. There will be several different things. There will be things in the PSP version that are not in the PS2 and things in PS2 that are not in the PSP. Most specifically, the Trials of Alma will not appear in PSP. There will be a difference. Well, those were designed to be a little bit more user-friendly sort of, not quite beginner, but as I said, user-friendly. The PSP will have its own set of unique new bonus items, bonus dungeons that you will not find in the PS2 version. Also, this is one thing that we managed to squeeze out of them that they told no one else. There will be mini-games in the PSP version. There will be their own separate mini-games for the PSP that is not in the PS2 version. We talked a lot about Oath and Felghana. He did let us know that next week he is going to go talk to Falcom about doing Oath and Felghana, maybe getting a port for that, maybe getting that over here in the States. So it is very definite possibility that there could be an NA release for Oath and Felghana. Unfortunately, we do not know about any of the other Ease titles. I know Ease 4, Mask of the Sun, has been seeing a lot of action over in Japan right now, but unfortunately, all those earlier games were not Konami. They were done by Taito. Falcom worked with both Konami and Taito, apparently, on this series, so they had to split who gets to do what, and we don't know what Taito's up to. So the earlier Ease games, what will happen with them, I do not know. Otherwise, that's pretty much what it was. I played E6 at the Konami booth, played it quite a bit. It looks very, very, very pretty. It definitely makes good use of the PSP graphics. Very, very smooth.
Can you say it's prettier than the PS2 version?
Probably. I haven't seen too much of the PS2 version, but the PSP, it looked really nice. The 3D environment really comes out. Movement's smooth. There's no blurring, no motion blur. Action is easy. The controls are easy. It's not too hard to get a hold of things. However, the enemies are such that if you don't pay attention and don't be careful, then you can get swarmed and killed pretty quick. If you do have a little bit of a strategy in your head, you can handle most of the fields. The only gripe I had was, again, the lack of healing items. There was a fairly large area that you could explore, and there were certain enemies that could poison you, and there was no poison healing items. So that could be just because of the demo, that you didn't get to go to an item shop and buy them or something. But there is a definite scarcity of healing items. The only other complaint I had was loading times. There was a very noticeable load time between every screen. Like you're sitting there for a good 20, 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
How often do you change screens?
I changed 3 or 4 times. It's not a lot, but it is definitely noticeable.
Well, hopefully that'll get fixed during
the Yeah, that later. Could, again, be part of the demo.
Didn't you mention before as well that the PSP version is slightly more difficult than
yes.
the PlayStation 2 release?
Yes, it is intended to be more difficult. So...
More like the original PC release.
Yeah, it is definitely a lot closer to the PC version than it is to the PS2. That is how it was intended from the very start. They decided they were going to do a PS2 version and a PSP version, and they were going to go in these directions. So, hardcore E fans, you will definitely want to be getting hold of the PSP version, because that's the PC version plus a little bit.
The PC version is not out here, right?
I don't believe the PC version ever came out in North America, okay. But I could be wrong.
I do not remember off the top of my
PC
head.
PC versions have not been coming out in North America.
Yeah.
It's part of why Wise Phenomena has never really caught on here. They really haven't brought over that many of the series.
It's E3 and E6, pretty much. 1 and 2 were on the TurboGrafx-16, ancient, long way, long ago, but...
The dawn of gaming history, probably.
Yes. Yeah. So, there's not much.
If you were a Yu's fan, you've been waiting a long time between games.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, definitely look forward to this one. It looks like it's going to be good.
Thank you very much. And moving on, we just got an email from Amanda. She requests any information that we might have seen about Tales of Legendia.
Unfortunately,
we saw it, and that's all we saw because it's a video only.
Yes, video only. It looks very nice. Very pretty.
It was just the anime cutscenes. Like it looked like it was kind of the title sequence.
It,
or
it,
something.
Looks, it was a promo movie. It yeah. was pretty much a promo movie.
No battle. No.
There was battle. There was battle. Now there was no sit down and control, but you did see what looked like a battle sequence. Some people's special moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was, because it's definitely, the cutscenes and stuff are definitely done anime.
Yeah.
It is very, very nicely well done anime, and the battle scenes are all polygon 3D figures.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see anything like the controls or menus or anything like that, but it definitely looked pretty much just like a promo movie. I was sorely
Which is really sad, because it looked like the best RPG at Namco's booth to me.
Yes, do not start
and
on
yet it was
Sigma
just
Star Saga.
A,
no.
I didn't. You brought it up. Stop bringing it up. Yes, that was
We will be skipping that topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yes. Unfortunately, Legendia was promo video.
I wish I could give
sorry.
You more info on Legendia.
Yes, I would like
I
to
would
have
say.
Played it, too.
Yeah, we would all like to have played it, but...
Mm-hmm.
Conveniently, since we're on the topic of Namco, that's where we went right afterwards. We had a booth appointment with Namco, in which we got to try out Sigma Star Saga, a couple other titles.
Don't smooth over the other titles. Smooth over Sigma Saga. Arc the Lab.
We
can mention Arc.
Yes. We even got to speak to the developers, or one of the developers for Arc the Lad, as well as Sigma Star Saga.
We got attacked by Namco's really nifty people.
Yeah,
who just
Namco
kept coming out. It's like
wonderful
Hey, would you like to talk about... Hey.
They kept throwing people involved with these games at us to talk to, just interviews.
Namco is a really, really friendly company.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as the games themselves.
Yes, please, please. I'd love to know.
I guess we have to talk about Sigma Star Saga
just
to get through it.
We'll start with the games
just
that are good.
We'll start with the hats.
Online.
Oh,
we
yes,
have, we have hats.
Hats?
Yes,
hats?
They say Sigma Star Saga.
Anyhow. Gifts from them, I guess.
Art the Lad Online.
Yes, yes.
Arc the Lad Online, the first thing that surprised me, I have not been keeping up with the news. I've beaten Arc the Lad 1 through 4, but I've not been keeping up on the news with Arc the Lad Online. Playing it, it is one character at a time action RPG,
yeah.
Which is interesting. The controls are sort of neat. It seems to be a very nostalgic style of game. They're bringing back... All of the characters are former Arc the Lad characters. They will have Elk in there. They will have Ark in there. They will have Choco in there.
Oh, yes.
They will have... Yes, I made sure to ask about Choco. So, those who are Choco fanboys, I am one. I loved Choco's character. I loved the side quest that they had in Arc the Lad 2 on her. She'll be back in there. They will have Shu. I love Shu. Shu's an awesome ninja character. Bringing back Shu is a good idea.
Tosh.
So the
Who's
way
Tosh
these
again?
Other characters work.
Bring back Tosh, please.
You have this main
huh?
character
Red-haired
whose
samurai.
Name is what?
Oh
yes.
Oh yes. Main
oh,
character.
Please bring back Tosh.
Something.
Tosh is
the point is that's the one who actually gets experience from all your little mission based fighting and all that. And then as you go along, you'll earn as you apparently depossess these demonized creatures that you come across, you get character points to spend on leveling up all these legendary characters that you find from the other games. So it's kind
it's
of a dual experience system that works differently.
It's taking some of
the
thematics from Arc the Lad 3, in that it is very highly guild-based. It's very highly built around the concept of being a hunter, being a great hunter, being a good person. And in that regard, making the main character and you're going through lots of hunter quests, lots of helping people out, lots of going around and killing things that people need killed. And that is the gameplay. According to them, there are two... There's the online component and there's the solo component, and they are very distinct. If you don't want to play online, I'm one of them. They promise that there's a good 30 hours of gameplay behind playing it through by just solo, which is nice. Afterwards, they promise there's about 200 levels they have online for people to play either cooperative or versus as on a 4-on-4 matches with the characters they've built up in their solo games.
Again, we're on the topic of Namco, and please send in your questions to roundtable@rpgamer.com.
Shall we go on to
So it looks
Mage
like
Knight?
The experience system for Ark was do about, a number of guild-based missions, which is go beat these flies up on this ranch there, go do this, go do that. And then you have to do 10 town-based story, help save my father, he's gone missing, I don't know where he is. And, you do all that, and then you go up a level, a rank, I guess. I don't know if this is a common mechanic for the series, but... It looks like there's different ranks of hunters, D, C, B, A, and then, of course, S, because S comes before A. I don't know. It's in every game, I guess.
Super.
And then he made it sound like there was a 6th rank level, and it must not be mentioned until you get it, I guess.
Super, double S.
Uber,
triple S.
Legendary, basically on the same level as Ark, I suppose, who is apparently a legendary figure in this universe now.
Ark the Lad.
Yeah, I know.
Ark has been a legendary figure since they introduced him.
Okay.
He was practically legendary for the first half of Ark the Lad 2.
Well,
he was legendary for the first half of Ark the Lad 2.
A legendary villain, but.
What else was there?
There was
Mage.
There
Mage
was Mage Knight.
Mage Knight.
Mage Knight is an RPG. It is, again, very, 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 very pretty.
It's Diablo. It's 3D. You move around. There's no zones, apparently. Everything's strange.
Their emphasis was on two things when I talked. Their emphasis is on, one, that they load everything so that you have these large levels, Diablo style again, but in full 3D, that you're having no loading happening between them. All the enemies are there, they're all constantly active, and you don't have to deal with any lag delays while you're playing. The second thing they were very emphasis on is they wanted to get a good grasp of mob combat, where you'd be having a team of five where everyone is either controlled by individual people logging in together or by AI who work with a very team-based mentality. And you'd have enemies who were doing the same thing. Instead of working as a solo unit, they would be working as, we are a group of 30 enemies. And boy, look, that one guy hit really hard. We should swarm him so that he gets knocked down quickly so he can't keep hitting hard.
And they said other things, you know, if you've got mages on the enemies, they'll fall to the back lines and let the warriors stay up front so they can heal them and all that kind of good stuff. The other thing that they mentioned, the experience is not going to be traditional level up. Instead, it's going to be kind of a proficiency base. Like, if you swing your sword a lot, your strength and your dex will go
if
up.
If you have
course,
played Quest for Glory, it is the Quest for Glory.
I've heard of Quest for Glory. So
yeah!
Very, very ancient PC game.
Yes. So, for our readers who are normal people, as you swing your sword, your strength and stuff will go up, and use your magic,
anyone
of course, your intelligence will go up.
PC games in the early 90s, you have my pity anyway.
I played the entire series. It was a good series.
Other than that, I mean, they didn't even have the potion belt implemented in the game yet, so it's still kind of early. It looks like it could be pretty. It looks like it could be a big load on your system. So we'll see how good of a Diablo killer it is when we get there.
It was 3 months into
development. Yeah,
to be
pretty
fair,
early.
It was really nice for a game that was 3 months into development.
Yeah, as most things here are.
Will it come up to all their dreams and stuff? We can't say yet. But it was really nice for how long it's been.
I don't agree with calling something nice because it looks nice here, because everybody knows how to make the game look nice nowadays. If it's nice, it's going to play nice. I want gameplay. We'll see how it works out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all that's left is the one nobody wants to talk about.
Sigma Star Saga.
Ew!
Allow me.
Yeah.
Sigma Star Saga. Yes. Picture an action RPG where you're shooting a gun, and in addition to fighting enemies on the map, you also have random encounters. And instead of during your random encounter, you're sucked into a battle where you're fighting a few monsters, you are teleported into a side-scrolling R-type ship. You then battle until you defeat a certain set amount of enemies, and then the stage ends. Then you go about your business walking around the map.
For 5 seconds.
Yes.
And then you get sucked back in.
There's a lot of random encounters. And there's a lot of storyline, so
yes.
it is an RPG, although people might argue against it.
Did they explain why you get sucked up in the ship for your battle?
You have a parasite in you that was given to you by the Krill. Krill, was it?
Krill.
Krill.
K-R-I-L-L.
K-R-I-L-L.
Yes.
And
I thankfully did not play it.
Yes.
We'll just go simple.
But the parasite...
It's like the old Nintendo game Guardian Legends, just not as fun, despite the fact that it has 15 years of development over that game.
The parasite basically gains experience for you, and as you defeat monsters in your ship, you get little blue pellets that will make your experience go up.
But still, how... Why are you going to your ship when you're just walking around on a planet?
From what I saw in the storyline, it's whenever one of the ships that you're controlling gets in danger, it automatically brings you up. That's the storyline reason.
Uh-huh.
So why can't they just teleport you down to where you're trying to go in the first place?
I don't know what your ship's doing up there in space, but getting into trouble in the first place.
They should land the ship.
From what I understood from the very, 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 very long dialogue at the very beginning, I played from game start, and oh man, I was sitting there 15 minutes, just kind of flipping through this. There's one good thing to say about it is the dialogue is fairly nice. It's a decent translation.
There's like 80 pages of script in this.
It's not a translation.
It's not a translation.
Yeah, this is a locally developed game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's American.
Well, okay, that's good, because
it would be very
it's okay.
It's standard. Translation.
It's standard. But everything to do with the krill is alive. I mean, this parasite is a alive little thing. Your ship is also alive. So you were supposed to be going to this planet to get rid of this one thing, and you've got an armada up in space that your living ship is dealing with, and you've got yourself down on the planet trying to get into the base. And I guess what they're assuming is if your ship gets in danger up there, you get to go play Gradius 3.
You get to go play up there and save it and then come back.
Yeah,
down.
So you get to go play Gradius 3.
And your character...
This is fun!
Yeah, well,
your character is, by the way, a double agent. You're a human who's gone over to the Krill to try and infiltrate their ranks and stuff. And so that's your kind of story. And so you get all this cool technology attached to you.
And
need some work.
Yeah, it's a subpar action game attached to a very bad Gradius 3 knockoff. And that's about it.
But apparently it's really customizable ship weapons, which we did not get to customize at all in the demo, so maybe that would help a bit. The producer guy really raved about how customizable the weapons are and how fun it is to customize
them. It's going to have a problem in that area. I'll assume the best case scenario that they have a really, really fun customizable weapon. It's going to have a problem in that area because... If for those to be really interesting, as someone who plays a reasonable amount of shooters, you need something to fight against. It doesn't matter if you can have laser beams reflecting off of all the corners, bombs flying all over the place, if you don't have much to shoot at.
Okay, so can I sum up? So basically you're saying you want more interesting enemies.
Yeah.
All right, so what's next?
Sorry, we got to get moving here.
Yes, this is actually about... Radiata Stories.
Radiata
Stories.
I played that. I liked it. The demo is actually really funny. It starts off with the producer of the game has been turned into a goat, and he's not happy about it. And he basically says, you have two choices. You can either go into the castle and kill the thing that made me into a goat, or you can watch the introduction to the game. Actually, when I walked up, the demo was already running in with the castle to go kill the fiends, so I picked it up and I walked through there. Battle system's pretty action-oriented. The three other characters are controlled by AI. The main character, Jack, I played him. You can move him around on the field pretty freely. And,
what style?
What
style would you call it?
I don't know. I could just walk around freely on the battlefield, and you just tap the button to execute the attacks. It's very action oriented.
It was kind of funny when I was watching it. On the main world map, you walk around and you can see the enemies. And if you get too close, you're pulled into a battle screen, which is an open square.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you get a 3-2-1 ding, go, and you can, from there, it's just a free-for-all brawl with you controlling Jack and the other three friends on AI doing various
you
things.
You can issue commands. One of the Square Enix booth employees came up to me and told me how to issue commands. You hit L1, and you can tell people to do certain kinds of commands. Specific commands such as cure yourself or cure this person, go all out attack, get back, defend yourself, different things like that, or you can have them use specific items or things like that. It was really interesting. I ended up going through the castle, opening some treasure chests, which you have to kick them. There's actually a kick button, and you have to kick them to get them open. And I found a sign that was pointing toward a door, and it said, "Go in here for pretty ladies and a party." And I turned to Elliot next to me, and I said, "This is going to have the boss that's going to kick my butt. There is no party in here." And I opened the door, and yes, there was a boss. And I worked on it, and the booth employee came back, and he was helping me figure out how to get through the boss battle, because it was pretty hard. And I almost lost a couple of people. I think I actually did lose one of my characters in there. But I ended up completing it, and the goat went back to his world. And this woman appeared and told me that he was free, he was back to his world, back to normal, and but there was another world waiting for me, which is the world of this game. And I turned to the guy next to me. He happened to choose the introduction story, so I got to see that as well. That looks pretty interesting. There's some animosity between Ridley and Jack. They don't like each other.
Yeah.
In fact, right at the start, they come in, I think they're squad leader or something, and he's telling them, you know, that he's so excited about them going on their first mission. This must be a dream. So he says, "Jack, come pinch me." And Jack comes up and pinches the guy's ear or something, and he starts twisting it because he's looking at Ridley, and he says, "I'm just going to beat you so bad, Ridley. I'm going to put you to shame." And he's twisting his squad leader's ear off, and the guy's all, Stop it. That hurts. Okay, it's not a dream. And then Jack was cracking some jokes and things like that. He said something about they were having to escort this dwarf who had a cart with weapons or something, and he made a joke about something about first comes the donkey and it's followed by the ass.
So he's kind of a smart aleck. But it's interesting. Yeah. The game is very funny so far.
Were there combo attacks in the battles that all four people can?
That's the link system.
Mike was saying something about
that. Work. I did get the Volti system to work a little bit. If you have your Volti gauge all the way up, you can hit square and X at the same time, and they'll do a big fancy attack. Yeah. So it's very nice.
And Firemist said he got the link system, I think, to work too, and that made some really awesome special attack. He was really raving about how cool that was too. So some fun battle system.
It's neat.
It sounds like the battle system is at least somewhat similar in nature to, like, Star Ocean, then. Which, given that the game is made by Tri-Ace, is not really surprising.
Not a big surprise.
But it definitely...
Is Valkyrie Profile the last time they made a game that was not a free-roaming battle system?
I think so.
It looks great. One interesting thing I noticed they did is that when... It's focused on a character, and another character comes up, say, from behind them, and then moves toward the towards the camera in the foreground. They will get blurry because the camera is focused on the person that's over here, and then you have somebody walking in front of them. They get blurry. It's just like when you're watching on TV or in a film. Things that are in the immediate foreground are blurry because it's focused on what's in the back.
Awesome.
I thought that was a very interesting means of perspective.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the character selection looked really interesting. I know the characters you were playing with is, we had a Jack, and there was a elf.
Very effeminate guy named Charlie who blew kisses at all the enemies. And he walked like a woman, he posed like a woman. It was kind of disturbing.
And there was that gargantuan giant rock mountain.
Golem-looking thing. It looked like he had a sword sticking through his head, right in his eye, because he had a sword hilt coming out of his eye socket.
Yeah.
And he just said a lot of roar, smash, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They had the elven girl who's kind of a snot. She was just kind of, you know, I can't get my weapons to work, you know.
That was the other thing. There's always comments flying around the bottom.
Yes.
When your characters defeat enemies... Or if they're in trouble, there will be a little message that flashes across
the screen. A text message,
that flashes across
the
screen.
So they weren't spoken?
Oh, there is voice acting, but it's a lot of, ha, 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 you know, like that. Yeah. Just those sort of voice acting.
Okay. Yeah, but they're not spoken dialogue inside the battle, at least.
So no annoying catchphrases. Instead, you get it via text.
Yeah. You get annoying catchphrases in text is what it is.
It sounds more fun.
I had to listen to Jack saying over and over, that was easy as pie, you know, and... You give up now because I'll beat you anyway.
Yeah.
Things like that over and over. But I'm excited about the game. It looks great.
Yeah,
I had a good time with it.
Okay.
Well, we've got you, Courtney. We got a couple of Natsumi questions that just came in from one of our staff members.
Oh, no.
First, was there anything on Finny the Fish in the Seven Wonders? This is from Paws.
Yes, there was. Graham talked about that a little bit. He said it's made by the same people that made the Echo games, the Echo Dolphin games. Basically, you're a fish, and you're swimming around, and you eat things in order to live, and you can use the thumbstick to jump out of the water, and it's just the life of a fish, basically. He said it was marketed more towards kids, 8 to 12, so I thought it looked kind of cute. I didn't try it out or anything, but I thought it looked kind of cute.
Also from Paws, were there any new items in either of the new Harvest Moon games, or is everything the same?
Looked like it was the same, I think. I didn't notice anything too different.
Thank you. And now we're going to move to perhaps the most exciting game that was shown tonight, The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, in which three of our lucky staffers got to see a behind-the-doors demonstration of the program running in action. I'm pretty much speechless about the whole experience. It's probably the best RPG I've seen all year so far. The other companies are going to have to work hard to impress me after this. Like we said before, even real life looked boring.
Did you guys
the graphics were really good.
Hey, Ed says there's a problem.
Somehow
accidentally killed the server.
He was over there going, shit.
Which means we might have to back up quite a bit.
What's going on here?
Might have lost all those Q&A questions.
Either that or we're still broadcasting and people just heard me swearing at the storm.
Well, IRC folks, what is it?
All right. First IRC person to type something related to what we're saying.
Gets a free emote.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll give you a
hug.
You got to wait 2 minutes till we'll find out, though.
Basically, I just did something really stupid. I suspend you did. So, let's just wait a minute or here.
Are they hearing the...
We got 13 people going again. I'm sorry, I was trying to do something, and it was in the wrong screen, and I suspended the server.
Oops.
Okay, are we back on?
We're working now. Alright, so what's...
We apologize for the technical difficulties.
The joys of having this being... The first time we've ever done this, this is totally just a...
Beta run.
We'll start
over again with the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Okay. Elder Scrolls Oblivion. Speechless. Yes. Graphics, amazing. Physics, amazing. You attack someone with your sword. The exact point of your sword that hits the enemy gets sprayed with blood. You can kill a skeleton, pick up the skeleton's head, and throw it around the room. You can set... I haven't seen it. You actually be able to set a trap, but you can... backfire traps on your enemies. You can, if you've played Morrowind, you know the biggest complaint about the game was that the faces were really ugly. They just, I'm not sure what they were thinking. They were just focused on other things, but they certainly went the extra mile on this game because the faces are gorgeous. Fast travel is back, yay.
Yes, very yay. And no more having to ride on the back of a giant mud hopping beast.
Mm-hmm.
And only like two towns to the north at a time.
The spell creation and the potion creation system from the Morrowind game is also back, and no doubt it'll have a few extra incarnations. Also, you can ride horseback again. We're not sure if you can drag a cart behind you like in Daggerfall. That wasn't really mentioned.
I didn't mention anything about that. They did note that their artists have painstakingly created it. Was it 2,000 or 5,000 different objects to equip and use as items throughout the game already?
It was up there.
Sufficiently huge.
Yeah.
The one thing that really stuck in my mind was the fact that they said that they actually grew the forest. They didn't actually laid the landscape, and they had this program where that actually grew the rocks and the trees up. They had some of their programmers studying how rocks and trees are formed and the way they grow. The dynamic lighting on the trees was excellent. It's pretty close to photorealistic. It actually ran a little bit choppy on their computer that they were demonstrating it on.
Which is somewhat troubling because if it runs flawlessly on the Xbox 360, you can probably imagine what kind of PC you're going to need to do the same thing.
One that doesn't exist yet.
Yes.
You might need a couple extra processors in your computer.
A cluster.
A graphics card that does not yet exist. But it looks very promising.
Basically, it's the best game you won't be able to play for at least 2 or 3 more years.
No, it's coming out Christmas 2005.
Wow.
They've been working on it for 3 years.
So hopefully you get some new graphics card with your games.
The very good news is that 3 years is somewhat of a short development period, given that Morrowind was being made for 8 or 9, if I recall correctly.
That's right. What I really want to know is if they're going to include the development kit like they did it for Morrowind.
If they include the TES construction kit, that would be very awesome.
Yeah. But level creation on the individual basis, like the average user, I don't see it happening. The world's just too detailed.
Yeah, it's unless you can set a palette. And then it will just auto-generate everything for you as you go.
That's true. If they can grow their own forest, maybe, you can grow your own town.
Well, you were telling me about the AI earlier. It sounds like
the
your
Radiant
townspeople
AI
make their own
is,
town.
The AI that they claimed they were going to attempt, actually, they got to work. And quite frankly, I am absolutely amazed. It's completely dynamic artificial intelligence for every one of the 10,000 non-player characters in the entire game.
We've just got an update. It's 9,000 objects.
9,000 objects.
Still,
thank you, Andrew.
It's still enough zeros to be plenty impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's really
so apparently
not
leaves
whole,
you speechless.
Yeah,
there's not
like
really
that.
A whole lot to say about Oblivion, but that it's awesome. It made Final Fantasy XII and Dragon Quest VIII look like crap after I had seen it.
I was walking around the E3 show floor and just looking at all the other games and thinking how inferior they were.
Oh, the show itself was inferior to the new real life you had seen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Looks...
Yes.
Well, this is our last topic, and I'd like to thank you all for listening to day two of our E3 roundtable. You can tune into us tomorrow, same time, for day three. All the companies we haven't mentioned, such
day
as
two.
Wild Arms, EdgeTech. We saw a lot of questions coming in about that. Don't worry, we'll cover it tomorrow. So thank you very much, and have a good night.
Good night.